something besides the service was crappy at a pancake house, and David Caruso is on the case. CSI IHOP. What do we got?
Well, Horatio, a man allegedly defecated in front of this international house of pancakes.
Huh. Looks like he ordered the Rudy Tooty fresh and poopy. At IHOP, you're supposed to come hungry and leave happy, but definitely not leave anything else. CSI IHOP.
We've identified the perpetrator, and sir, it's the former district attorney.
Well, it looks like this DA's career is down the toilet. In a world of criminals, we're glad one man is doing his duty. David Caruso stars in CSI IHOP.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
First ever prescription depressant hit the shelves today. Approved by the FDA last month, Despondex is intended as a treatment for the approximately 20 million Americans who are insufferably cheery. Tests prove the drug is effective at reducing a range of symptoms, from squealing loudly when a friend calls to use of the phrase cool beans and excessive hugging. Dr. Alman Way calls the drug a huge step forward in the battle against exuberance.
If you're in a good mood every so often, well, that's fine. That's normal. This is for those that have a persistent positive outlook on life.
Eva Henry of New Haven, Connecticut began participating in a clinical trial of Despondex 6 weeks ago.
I was always telling people how cute their outfits were and bringing them little gifts. I'd beam at anyone who made eye contact with me. I didn't realize life didn't have to be like that.
Eva said she never knew how her annoyingly chipper attitude was affecting those around her.
Over and over again, I'd ask Jeff to ride his bike down to the botanical garden with me, no matter how many times he said no.
And she was always smiling, but I didn't know what to do to help her.
I used to think, why am I the only one trying to set up single friends with each other? And now I realize it. I was sick. I need a treatment.
Eva says the drug may have saved their marriage.
Now Jeff and I can just waste a night sitting on the couch, watching a TV show neither of us enjoy. Like a regular couple.
Not everyone is convinced that Despondex is the cure-all for perkiness, however. In this week's Time magazine, Michael Pelosic of UCLA argues that many patients get similar results from natural remedies, something as simple as a diet of corn syrup and white bread and a total lack of exercise. But Dr. Way disagrees.
We have to erase the stigma attached with getting chirpy people help, real medical help. I mean, do you know what it's like to be around these people? It's pretty fucking annoying.
Doctors estimate the new drug could reduce the number of costume or theme parties in the U.S. by up to 40%.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
A Muppeteer's right hand is in critical condition following an assassination attempt on Elmo. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A Muppeteer's right hand remains in stable but critical condition following the attempted assassination of beloved Muppet Elmo. The suspected assailant, Douglas Michael Hording, was tackled on the scene and restrained by Sesame Street police. The Onion Radio News has obtained this audio recording of the event.
Elmo loves to count steps. Duck, you boys and girls, not to...
Officials remain alert after the attack, fearing reprisal shootings and widespread Muppet unrest. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
And now, from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
God, I'm going to miss that. Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Aww.
Welcome to Wednesday, February 18th, and one more day, and Susie is gone.
Oh, shit.
It's really starting to dawn on me you're going to be gone, you know?
It's really starting to dawn on me that I'm going to be gone.
Really?
Oh, man. This has all been happening, like, so freaking suddenly.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you're, like, totally impulsive.
Totally impulsive.
Yeah.
Totally impulsive. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm, like, out of control.
Yeah. So how are you feeling? I mean, are you nervous? Are you excited, exhilarated?
I'm really nervous, and I'm really sad, and I'm really scared, and I'm really exhilarated.
Yeah?
Yes.
You hopeful?
I am hopeful.
Yeah?
I think things are going to be good.
Wonderful.
But Daniel's going to kill me as soon as he sees all the shit that I'm bringing over.
Like what, for example?
Well, I basically have, from the floor to the ceiling in my room, an entire wall of suitcases.
Really?
Yes. Jeez. And there are like seven...
Well, you are moving to another country, for crying out
loud. There's 7-foot ceilings. and that doesn't include my other trunk or my Louis Vuitton duffel bag, which is also packed full of clothing.
So it's all clothes?
All clothes.
Really?
I have a lot of clothes.
Yeah, but are you going to wear them all?
Of course.
Yeah.
I went through, and this is all the stuff that I actually wear.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But then I also had to bring, like, a suitcase of stuff for if I go traveling. Like, what if I want to go skiing in New Zealand?
Right.
What if I want, you know, to come back to the States, and all of a sudden it's the middle of winter in the States?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to need to have, like, warm clothes for adverse traveling conditions.
Yeah. Does it ever get cold there?
It doesn't get cold up where I'm going to be, but if I want to go down to Brisbane or Sydney, you know, it's approaching winter there, come like July.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, but there is winter there. I mean, you're going to need the warm clothes.
It is winter there right now, but where I'm living, it doesn't get below like 75.
Really? Never?
Yeah, never.
Really?
Never.
Wow.
I'm moving to the tropics.
Yeah. You picked a good place then.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What am I doing? That's it. I'm not going.
You're fucked up, man.
I'm unpacking everything. I'm staying.
I'm telling you, you know. I mean, usually people leave after a long time of being miserable somewhere, you know, and they're excited to leave.
Well, that's the only thing that's, like, freaking me out about this is that I've always left places when I, like, when I either ran out of boys in the town.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, you know what I mean? You kind of get sick of a place sometimes.
Yeah.
Or like the hometown you grew up in, it's like, I can't stay here or else I will just drown.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of, yeah, constricting and stuff after a while.
Or like when I was in Colorado, like I loved it so much, but I was partying like a rock star there. I would waste it away. I was so skinny and like I thought my nose was going to fall off. It was like I really had no choice but to leave, to remove myself from the situation or else I seriously would have killed myself.
Right, right.
But you're right. I actually, like, I've never left a place that I was perfectly happy in.
Right.
Perfectly happy.
Right.
What if this is, like, the beginning of, like, a bad luck spree for me?
No, don't say that.
Oh, my God.
Why would it be? No.
I don't know.
No.
Like, what if everything goes wrong as soon as I get up there? What if the boat sinks and my car sinks?
Well,
with, like,
you can't
all my
live
stuff
like that thinking everything's going to go down the tube. I mean, yeah, you don't know.
The boat could sink. Oh, my. What if the plane crashes? Ah! Fuck. I don't even have any good drugs to get on the plane. Damn it.
Well, then find some.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, I can make a phone call to that that sketchy Russian Jew guy. I'll see what he has in his little bag of tricks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're going to have to find a dealer in Australia.
Actually, in Australia, drugs are pretty much everywhere.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Everywhere. Anything you want, you can get anywhere.
Really?
But Daniel and I aren't going to do any drugs.
No?
Nope.
Good.
No drugs.
Well, you got to think of the health of the baby. And the mother.
Oh, man. I don't even want to think about that. No babies. Shoot, I was supposed to go get birth control yesterday. Damn it.
Yeah.
But
you know what? Let me suggest one thing to you.
Yes.
If you get, like, really desperate and you feel like you want to come back, don't ever think, like, I can't go back because then people are going to say it didn't work out for me and I told you so and all that kind of stuff. Don't let that... I mean, if you need to come back, come back, you know, because otherwise you're going to be miserable there.
Sam.
Unless you move to another place altogether.
Exactly. I actually was thinking about that. I was like, what if I do get over there and I hate it and I'm miserable and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I don't even like him.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What was I thinking? He's English. He's a prisoner of Mother England. A pommy.
Yeah.
You know, I have these thoughts, obviously, because I'm not completely irrational.
Okay, good. That's encouraging.
Thank you. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm ever capable of keeping myself in a situation where I'm miserable.
Yeah.
I just like to be happy too much, and I like to enjoy my life, and, like, being miserable is not an option for me.
Right. But what I'm saying is if you feel like coming back to L.A., you know, and because you said, I'm never going back. I never go back, you know. And
I think this is one place I actually would come back to.
Yeah, I think you would. I think this is home for you, Susie.
I feel more at home in L.A. than I've ever felt anywhere in my life.
Yeah, you know, and I can see that. You know, I mean, you sort of like built a life for you, a daily routine and stuff, you know. I mean, and you're happy. I mean, you're a happy person.
You know? I know.
That's why, you know.
But who's to say I can't be happy there?
They say, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Well, I'm not fixing it. I'm moving it.
No. You're trying to fix a non-problem here.
I'm not trying to fix a non-problem. There is no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to school full-time, and I'm really excited about it. Although, orientation was this week. I was already supposed to be there.
Oh,
so
really?
So I feel like I'm already starting like a week behind everyone else.
Yeah.
But you'll leaving last up, week would have been, like, fucking impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, classes don't physically start until Monday. But, like, everyone's going to know, like, where their classes are and things like that. But guess what? Guess what?
Guess what? What, Susie?
Daniel's going to drive me to my first day of school.
Oh, how cool. Is he going to carry your bag for you?
Actually, you know what? That motherfucker. I was talking.
In the same sentence.
Shush. No, seriously, he was like, he already asked me to skip my first day of school on Monday.
Really?
To go scuba diving in some volcanic lake. It's like this huge crater and like a lake formed in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, why don't you skip your first day of school and we'll go scuba diving in the lake?
Yeah, right.
I was like, what? I cannot.
That can't wait till the weekend.
Well, on the weekend he goes away. He's only off on Sundays and Mondays.
Okay.
And then he works.
So Sundays.
Well, I get there at like 12:20 on Sunday.
Yeah. So the following week, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be that day. You know?
Well, but I was thinking about it this way. Missing the first day of school as an international student, being like, I couldn't get here, is much more acceptable than missing a day later on once they've already like recognized my face and established me as a student.
Yeah, but who said you're going to miss a day? Just go on a weekend. That's all. But anyway, who gives a shit? Fuck it.
But no, do you know what I mean? Like, if you miss like the first like couple days, I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm not.
No,
obviously.
It's not gonna matter to them. It's you. You know, I mean, you're already saying you wish you would have been there this week for the orientation. So you're gonna miss out on the first and second days?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
That's crazy. Don't be that crazy.
I won't. Yes. After everything I'm spending to get over there, I'm going to school.
Yeah.
I was telling him that last night. I was like, "You are a motherfucker." I was like, "How dare you try and tempt me?" With missing my first day of school. I was like, no, you're going to drop me off with my sharpened pencils in my pencil case, and you're going to carry my bag and walk me to class, and then you're going to make out with me outside of the door.
Yeah.
God damn it. And he's like, really? He's like, there are going to be all those hot young freshmen running around, and you're going to like, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm too old to be going back to school.
Yeah.
Ah!
But you know what you have to look forward to is meeting a lot of people. You know, you love meeting people and stuff, you know.
What if they don't
You'll
like
make
me?
New friends. Why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
Who doesn't like you?
I don't know.
You don't have a lot of enemies, do you?
I have a couple. Actually, you know what?
I'm sure there's a lot of guys that hate you guys.
No, all the guys that hate, like, they initially hate me, but then they realize it's easier to love me than hate me.
That's true.
But actually, the clip you played at the very beginning, I was only halfway listening to it, about, like, the drug for, what is it, the first...
Highly cheerful people.
Highly cheerful people.
Yeah.
This is actually kind of interesting. So back when I was in, like, fifth grade, there was this girl, Christina Sochini, and I don't care, I'm giving her last name out. I hope someone goes in.
So tiny.
I don't know. It was kind of a weird name. But she was like this gorgeous, gorgeous blonde. And she came into our Catholic school like very late, like in fifth grade, because she was kind of a problem child. Came from like, you know, a very bad family and whatever. But she was gorgeous. So she decided that she wanted my best friend, this girl Leah. So she adopted Leah as her best friend. But Leah and I were already like committed to doing a Dance in the Talent show together.
Right.
So one day, it was like a Friday, and the three of us were taking the bus back to Leah's house. And I'm on the bus, like being happy, chipper Susie, you know, la 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 la, bouncing this little bouncy ball. Christina, like, the ball like bounced like down the bus a little bit, and it hit her in the back. And she thought I like threw it at her. She grabbed it and she was like, "You fucking bitch." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "You're so fucking goddamn perky." And I was like, "I'm sorry that I'm perky." I was like, "Is that why you don't like me?" And she's like, "Yeah, you're too fucking cheerful." I was like, "Well, that's a stupid reason to not like someone." I was like, "You know, just because you're miserable."
Yeah.
But so we get to Leah's house and I don't even remember. Oh, actually.
Can I cut you off for a second?
Yes.
There's a phone call.
Okay.
And I think it might be for you, Susie.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Who is this?
Hi, this is Rochelle.
Hi, Rochelle! Oh my goodness, how are you?
I'm really well, how are you guys?
Oh, I'm good. I can't believe you're here. Well, calling.
I know, finally. Susie's so famous, the only way I can talk to her now is by calling into the show.
Oh, please, I'm not that famous.
So what do you think What do you think about Susie leaving?
Well, I think about it. Well, Australia is a lot further away than LA, but I guess it's just going to be a bit of a longer flight. Susie's adventures, really. She was due for something wild and adventurous. So
right. Thank you,
it's
my
only
dear.
Fitting, really.
Yeah, and now really is the time to do it. Not when you settle down with a family and everything, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if I didn't move to Australia, I probably would have moved to Vancouver.
Yeah, well, I can't blame you for that.
I love Vancouver.
Vancouver is beautiful. It's not too far.
That's where Rochelle lives.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Rochelle...
Vancouver is just going to have to be next.
Vancouver will definitely be next. That's where I'll settle down with you guys, with my crazy Canucks.
Well, this is the thing. I don't really think you're ever going to settle down, but maybe the next place you'll move.
I actually think she will, eventually. Eventually she will. She needs to get it all out of her system. You know, she's still a young spirit and everything. But I think she's going to hit her 30s and then she's going to really start thinking of the future and stuff, you know?
When I start popping out those babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she's going to get boring. I mean, but I have the same mentality. I mean, I've been married for almost 3 years and I don't consider myself super settled down in a boring aspect.
Hell no.
No. I didn't say Susie would be boring. I don't think that would ever happen.
No.
Yeah.
Well, settle down just seems so drab, but
not necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, you're happy. You just said you're happy, and
but
you don't
she's
think
not
you're
settled
boring.
Down.
No,
she's pretty fucking crazy.
Really?
This is my
but
evil kid.
She's got
kid.
A kid.
She doesn't have a kid.
Oh,
she has
I
a
thought
husband.
That's what she said. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Kind of like
no,
a kid.
No.
Yeah.
Rochelle is my evil Canadian twin.
Really?
Everything in me that's like bad and naughty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's double dosage with you together.
It's double dosage with the two of us together. We are simply out of control.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you guys ever meet?
We met in Vancouver, actually. I met Rochelle because I had a Canadian boyfriend, and I was up visiting him, and I went out to a club with him, and he was like, "You're going to have to meet my friends Liz and Rochelle." And I was like, "Okay." So I look over in the corner, and there are these two drop-dead gorgeous girls, and I hear them whispering, "Can you believe that girl wore the same outfit out every single night for the past 2 weeks? Oh, my God. We can... oh, my God. I just want to throw up all over her. Look at those shoes." And so I'm like, "Oh, my God. These girls are so mean. They're going to hate me. They're going to tear me to shreds. Like, what if they don't like my outfit?" But no, they ended up being the most wonderful, loving, fabulous, fashion conscientious, experimental people I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, well. We're not too superficial, but really, that other girl is evil. She dated a friend of ours, and yeah, she wears the same awful outfit for about a year. She changes her outfit every year, but she's honestly, oh, Susie, I don't think I told you. She's one of those people, and it really bothers me when you'll see someone out, and you've met them before, and you've learned their name, and, you know, you see them every couple weeks, but then they pretend like they've never seen you before.
Yeah, so that's really fucking snotty.
I've met her a handful of times, so she finally pulled it again, and we were out, and she knows some friends of mine, and then she was like, I'm like, "Hey, Rochelle," and she's like, "Sorry, who are you?" And I said, "You know what, I've met you about 6 times, and I don't understand why you always pretend you don't know who I am." So I called it on it. It's so funny.
Oh, good.
Because it's ridiculous, but
yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
I called her on it.
Yeah. So are you a sexualist, Susie?
Am I? I wouldn't say as much so, right. But
you're pretty, you know, yeah, pretty sexual and stuff.
Yeah. And she's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, she sounds like it. Well, and I don't know, all your friends are.
She's a burlesque dancer, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you're the one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right, yeah. So, I mean, I've got that aspect. I definitely think female sexuality can be extremely empowering. So, and I come from an extremely feminist place. But, yeah, I've been doing burlesque for a couple of years now.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Definitely empowering.
Definitely, definitely.
I think so.
Yeah, that's why Susie's going to Australia, to be empowered.
Empowered by the empowered big dick.
By, yeah, by a British penis.
Is he British?
He's British and living in Australia.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was Aussie.
No, no.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, it kind of makes more sense because I'm not a big fan of Australian people, but I like the British.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah. She's got something international going on here, Susie.
I've always liked international boyfriends.
Yeah.
I've said that always.
Yeah.
Like, Eric was like...
I dated a couple British guys, so it makes sense. It's a much nicer accent.
It's a much nicer accent, definitely. Much more refined and sexy.
Yeah.
And not as rugged as the Australian accent. Yeah.
All I can tell you is sometimes what you love about new people is what you end up hating about them later. I just hope you don't end up hating his accent.
I've never hated it, and I've, like, seriously, I don't think I will.
Yeah.
I think
if you're pissed at him, you're going to go, you know, fuck this, like, British son of a bitch.
You fucking pommy? God damn it. No, if I get pissed at him, I'll probably just throw...
Boys, that's the only thing.
Yeah,
They like their women to do a lot for them, but Susie, you're not like that, so he'll get a good awakening.
I know. I met his mother. I went up to visit his parents, and when I left when I left the farm, his mom said to me, she gave me a hug, and she was like, it was really nice meeting you, dear. Have a nice life. I was like, no, you'll be seeing me next month. She's like, no, I won't. Have a nice life. Like, Daniel will be done with you. Like, you're going to be out of his life. And I'm like, uh-uh.
That's what she said?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Oh.
So I don't think she particularly liked me.
You know.
Have a nice life?
Yeah, it's like, who cares, you know? Who cares? You're not going for his parents.
Yeah, exactly. You're not dating her.
Yeah.
Good point. I'm wearing the shirt. Rochelle and I went to Disneyland together when I brought her to L.A.
Uh-huh.
And we took topless photos in the bumper car photo booth.
Oh, so it was her.
That's her. Yeah. Yes, that's her. He's seen your boob.
No, I haven't. God. I haven't seen her boob. Her boob. What you said was that you used that driver's license when you got pulled over by a cop.
Yes.
And you said you went with a friend and you took a couple of topless pictures.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was Rochelle.
It was Rochelle. Rochelle, everyone has seen your boobs.
Oh, jeez. Well, I know there were little children running around. You were like, okay, they're not looking. Go!
I know. We were totally at the photo booth. We're like, take our shirts off now. Woohoo! As we're doing everything in Disneyland that we were not supposed to be doing. But, oh, my God.
Yeah. So now with you leaving, we're never going to see Rochelle down here. Maybe she would have visited you or something. Now we'll never see her. Okay, but you are on Facebook, right? Because I need to see how gorgeous you are.
Yes, she is on Facebook.
Awesome.
I am. Yes.
Awesome. Okay, Rochelle. Well, we got to call an author in a few minutes. Anything? Anything final you want to say to Susie before she leaves?
Just the best of luck, and it's so amazing that she's on to her next adventure. And I definitely hope to get down to Australia soon. But really, I guess, you know, this part of the world had its dose of Susie, and everyone does want a piece. I've been getting a little jealous lately of how she's been hard to get hold of, and you know, she is just on her way to being famous. But I just, you know, of course, wish her all the best and all the crazy adventures. And,
she's going back to obscurity now. So,
but so also, much for the famous. Rochelle, I did want to let you know. I think I am going to try and make it back for Burning Man.
Well, I'm going, so...
I know you're going.
Yeah, we're going.
So
I know.
That's the only reason I'm going to try and make it back for Burning Man, because I'm seriously going to think that after having been in school full-time for a semester, I'm really going to need a dose of my Canadians and my drugs and my partying.
Oh, jeez. Well, you missed it last year, so it's due.
All right. Well, my dear, I will give you a call later.
Okay, Rochelle.
Well, have a wonderful day, and so nice to talk to you guys.
You too.
Love
bye.
You.
Okay. I love you.
Loved Vancouver.
And I love that girl. She's just amazing. You don't even know.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Well, I'd love to find out, but she's married.
And her husband is totally fucking awesome, too.
Really?
At one point, like last year, I decided to surprise all of my Canadians for all of their birthdays. And so I would just, like, appear and surprise everyone. I'm like, happy birthday.
Yeah.
But now I can't do that anymore. I'll be too far away to just pop over.
Yeah.
Mm.
It must be pretty cold up there now, huh, in Vancouver.
What month is it right now?
It's February.
Yes, it'll probably be freezing up there and raining all the time.
I know, and snowy probably too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll call the author in a few minutes. The book is called, what a segue, right? Habitually Great. Master Your Habits, Own Your Destiny. And this, I started going through
this
it.
This guy's Irish, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Weinstein,
yeah.
Irish?
Definitely Irish or Roman Catholic.
Roman Catholic, yeah. Definitely.
From Sweden, probably.
I just remember as a kid, my mom would always say, like, he's Jewish. I'm like, how do you know he's Jewish? And she's like, Weinstein? I mean, come on, Susie. And I'm like, how do you know? She's like, Goldberg? Really? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't understand how that makes someone Jewish.
Yeah. Come on, Susie, look at them. They all look the same.
No.
Oh, man, that's funny. So all your friends are calling to say goodbye. That's pretty cool.
Oh, and last night, like, I seriously just wanted to, like, stay on my couch and hibernate and not do anything or go anywhere. But I dragged myself in my exhausted state after I had had a double turkey cheeseburger and a bottle of wine to go to Taco Tuesdays. Not the bike ride Taco Tuesdays, but to a different Taco Tuesdays.
I see.
Where I got drunk and stoned and had a very lovely time.
Really?
Yes, yes. But I just keep, there are a couple of friends that I really just want to, like, say goodbye to the most.
Right.
So I keep, like, saying goodbye to a lot of people the same, like, again and again.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I don't know, like, my bigger group of friends, like my bike riding friends, I'm having a hard time, like, going over and saying goodbye to them all.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, Susie. I don't know. I mean, I've said it enough, but to me, this is self-destruction.
Hey!
You're taking something so good, so great, and you're throwing it away. I mean, and what that great thing is your life, you know.
Thank you. So I'm throwing my life away.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you, Sam. I like to think my life is a lot more than the place that I'm physically in.
No, but your life is everything that you do, the people around you, the things that you do, the place you live.
I will still have people around me. I will still live in a place. I will still be doing wonderful things.
That's true. Look, you don't have to be defensive. I'm just saying, okay?
How can I not be defensive when you say you're throwing your life away?
Well, I think you are. I mean, okay,
and by the way,
not your life.
I want my bikini wax.
Your bikini wax?
Yes.
Oh, God, I got to get you a lot of shit by tomorrow.
Yes, you do. Actually, you can go downstairs and make an appointment for the bikini wax down there.
Really?
I'll take that over the Swedish massage. That'll save you $100.
Okay, I'll do it if I can watch.
It's really not pretty. You're welcome to watch if you really
gazing
want to.
Into a vagina is fine. She just spilled the water all over.
Totally missed my mouth. Oh, boy.
So you have a t-shirt that says not in rehab.
I am not in rehab.
And it's got a cocktail glass there.
You are not saying you're going to get it if you're going to watch. You're going to get it because you and I made a bet. You actually owe me two massages, the Thai massage and the Swedish massage.
And the Swedish.
And I'm exchanging
and the Brazilian
them.
Bikini wax.
I'm exchanging them all for one Brazilian bikini wax.
Okay.
I think that is very fair as my going away present.
Okay. All right.
I want my vagina plucked like a chicken. What?
I know. It does look like a plucked chicken right afterwards.
Oh, totally.
It? Yeah.
Totally.
But to sit in those positions for them to get everything out of your ass and everything.
Actually,
you know?
Because I'm so flexible, like, people love giving me bikini waxes. They're like, holy shit. They're like, we don't even have to ask you to flip over. They're like, you just, like, lift your leg and, like, spread your cheeks or your lips and whoa. They're like, this is amazing. I had this one very...
The shit that women have to do, you know, spread their legs to the doctor, you know, to the wax lady.
Gynecologists are crazy.
Yeah. To the when you're given birth, you have to. So it's like spreading your legs all throughout your life.
Yep, for sex, for everything.
Yeah.
To get that A in stats that I never got. God damn it. I still can't believe that motherfucker wouldn't be swayed.
Yeah.
Commie.
You would have fucked him for an A?
I wouldn't have fucked him, but I was definitely sitting front row, front and center, no underwear, short skirt, like, hey.
Yeah, blowjob, you would.
Definitely not. He was a creepy, creepy motherfucker.
Really? So why did you want him to...
I just wanted to tease him.
Oh, I see. Okay. What about a hand job? Anything like that?
I wouldn't have touched him.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think our guest is calling us, so they're serving us a call here. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Who is calling?
Sam, this is Mark Weinstein calling.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Mark
Weinstein. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
We're good. Thank you for calling. We were just about to call you, and you saved us the call. So that's another quarter in our pocket.
Fair enough.
Where are you calling us from, Mark?
I am calling from my office in New Mexico this morning.
Oh, New Mexico. That's unusual. Most authors do not come from there. But what's it like up there? Is it cold, warm?
Sam, Albuquerque is one of the best-kept secrets in the country. Perfect weather, four seasons. In the wintertime, it's about 50 degrees and sunny every day and maybe 25 degrees at night.
Wow. Wow. Sounds cool to me. Is there a lot to do there in Albuquerque?
There's a lot of culture here. It's a great state. You know, we've got a great governor, Bill Richardson, although maybe he's in a little trouble right now, but he's really a great guy.
Right.
And New Mexico is a very beautiful and very cool place. You know, we have Santa Fe. We have great thinkers, great artists. I also keep a home and an office near the beach in New York for the summertime.
Oh, very nice.
Nice, nice. Well, you've got the life, and then you and then you turned around and you wrote a book called Habitually Great. And how did this book come about? Is this something that you've been doing for a while?
You know, Sam, as my mother likes to say, since I was 17 years old, I would drag her down to New York City to the latest and greatest transformational workshops to see how we could improve ourselves and make our lives better. And, you know, so this goes on. You know, I've studied sociology in college, got my master's degree in business, became an executive, a chairman, very successful. And in 2002, I sat down and I said, I'm going to write the book on how people can really change, because now I've walked on fire with Anthony Robbins, I've paid for my employees to do everything, and on Monday morning, everybody always reverts back to their habits. It's what I call the rubber band effect.
Yeah, I know. It's like they get you all worked up and everything in those seminars, and then all that motivation is gone, like you said, by Monday.
Exactly. And what I say is insights disappear, habits don't.
Right.
So there we are Monday morning again with our habits. So if we really want to change and improve and achieve what's important to each of us as individuals in our lives, to find what I call our place and purpose, then we really have to look at our habits. And this book really helps people understand, how do you really change a habit? What is there to do? And it walks you through language, discipline, structures for success, and helps people really understand the fundamentals of the what I call a human habit mechanism.
Yeah. So is it really possible to change deeply ingrained habits? Because I know I'm a creature of habit, and it's really hard for me. Like I smoke cigarettes, for example. Mm-hmm. I can't stop for the life of me, you know. There are certain things that I do, just like idiosyncrasies, that I can't break. So is this possible? I mean, how does one go about this?
Sam, that's a really great question. And listen, smoking cigarettes, and we will only do a moment of this on the show of today, there is likely to be habits underneath, not just the habit of nicotine, which nicotine is a very insidious, you know, habit that grabs you, you know, and undermines your own sort of ability to have control. We would also look at the self-sabotage habit underneath.
Right.
Because something about smoking, you know, there's clearly self-sabotage in there.
Right.
And we would want to look at habits like that.
Right.
And then we would look at habits like discipline, habits about accountability, habits about worthiness.
Yes. Yes.
So we would really have to look at it, what I would call the habit cluster, the conversation under the conversation about smoking.
Right.
Just using that as an example.
Right.
Now, so in all areas, whether people are in good relationships or bad relationships, whether they're fit or not fit, whether, you know, whether they have great careers or whether they feel that they're off track, we want to look at these habits that are underneath the conversation.
Right. Right. Now, so
I find I have to interrupt or somehow break my disruptive pattern if I'm having some kind of problem like that. Like as far
right.
as like when
and
I was in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Susie, that's exactly right, because what you want to do is a pattern interrupt, so your language is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I found myself caught in, like, some bad relationships before, and it's like you just get so darn comfortable and like in the habits, and you're just so, I don't know, it's really difficult to do. And so I actually went as far as to move at one point. I was like, I can't keep driving back to the same place with the same person in it. I was like, I'm going to move,
right.
And that way I'm going to completely disrupt all of my habits, and it actually worked.
Yeah. So
now that means you changed other habits too, because you decided to no longer be comfortable. You know, good is the enemy of great, and we get complacent. And you know, one day 10 years go by, and we go, "Wow, what happened there?"
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, but I still can't imagine getting up in the morning, having coffee, and not lighting a cigarette.
Maybe you shouldn't have coffee.
Is this possible? I mean, how do you break a habit?
When I quit smoking for a year, I quit drinking coffee because I could not have coffee without having a cigarette.
Yeah.
And now I started smoking again, and now I'm back to drinking coffee.
Yeah.
All right, now we've got some work to do with you two, that's for sure.
There you go. But she's moving to Australia, no chance there.
And listen, some habits are what I call entrenched. Those are very deep habits. And so, you know, part of it, Sam, is you would have to take on different actions. This is not, you know, it's complex.
Right.
Smoking is a complex habit because that is also a chemical habit. Different than a lot of the habits, you know, if we look at about, you know, I'm not worthy, for example, or perfection.
Right.
Or avoiding accountability or avoiding conflict or someone who has a can't say no habit or a guilt habit. Those are habits we can really work with that don't have a chemical or nicotine addiction.
That's
Sam, yours, you know, requires, you know, a multi-tiered approach. It can be done. It also would require the habits of discipline and persistence, which are two of the most important habits in the universe for success.
So
every great athlete, every great executive, every great marriage has those.
I see. So there are definitely positive habits. We just need to learn them. And or relearn what we already know.
Well, those are what we call peak life habits. In fact, that's the name of our company is Peak Life Habits. The patience habit, the discipline habit, you know, habits like that, accountability, compassion, detachment, discipline, gratitude, being a great listener, that's a habit. Ground truth reality, so you're not BSing yourself or somebody else, that's a habit. Humility is a habit.
Right. Right.
So patience is a habit, you know, as we all know. So, and the book walks you through how to make what I call the shift. Because changing habits, Sam, isn't easy. And people, you know, in our culture today, people are conditioned to look for, you know, the two-minute solution. And it's not a two-minute solution. Look, Susie, what you had to do. That wasn't a two-minute solution.
No, definitely not.
You know, it does. And this, look at Olympic athletes, you know, so when you really want, and we all have our desires and our wants for our lives and the things that are really important for us, we have to apply ourselves and these habits get in the way. I'm not worthy, avoid accountability, those get in the way, and we really have to learn how to disempower the habits that get in the way and then put in place the habits that get us all the way.
Right, right. So is it true that you want to replace one habit with another? I mean, we were talking about it this morning with Susie, and she said, you know, if you get into the habit of working out all the time, you know, instead of smoking, or like you said, I mean, I keep going back to the smoking.
I told him to become addicted to something else. I was like, become addicted to exercise.
Yeah, I know.
And that's great coaching, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because, Sam, this, you know, cold turkey only works for a few people because really denial doesn't work. Substituting one habit for another habit is a very effective way to do it. And the only way to do that, remember, is the discipline of sticking with what you've chosen to substitute. For example, if you're going to exercise, then you have to schedule. And this is where discipline and scheduling can come in because you can't just say, okay, starting tomorrow, I'm going to exercise. You know, that's like a New Year's resolution. They don't work.
That's why I told him he needed to get a personal trainer that would actually like force him to go to the gym or call him and be like, excuse me, you're late. Where are you?
Yeah. Help me develop the habit.
Create the structure.
Yeah.
That's right. Create the structure, Susie. So he's got to actually go, okay, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm at the gym, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, whatever the time slot is, and then create an accountability and then follow through no matter what. And if something comes up, reschedule and be accountable to that.
Right.
I'm now, so
that
smart.
Aren't you, though? Go on, Mark.
It takes, well, that's the rigor, and it takes, you know, the commitment. It also would take getting what's in the way out of the way, what we talked about a few minutes ago, the conversation under the conversation, i.e., what if you have a habit, let's just say hypothetically, a person that has an I'm not worthy habit, and so all of a sudden, they have an inspiration, a New Year's resolution. They're going to work out and get really fit.
Right.
Yet underneath the conversation is this habit called I'm not worthy, or another habit called avoid accountability.
Right.
So those are saboteurs. So this is what the book is written for, so you can really get conscious about your subconscious saboteurs that are getting in the way of your own greatness.
Right, right.
Wow.
Did you hear that, Susie? And Susie does have a lot of greatness.
I'm taking this book on the plane with me.
Mark, this
I think
is...
you really love it. Look, it's what I call the missing link to greatness, and I've looked at so many people. Even, you know, that great book by Stephen Covey, The Seven Habits, which has been a standard bearer for 20 years. If you look at his habit number one, which is called being proactive, what I say on page 3 of Habitually Great, it's hard to be proactive if your avoid accountability habit thwarts that intention. You've got to deal with that habit first.
Right, right.
So these books that preach to us about here's what's to do, what there is to do to be great, they miss the point of, oh, here's what there is to undo, and here's how you undo it, and now here's how you get to where you're going.
Yeah.
So you really get to the root of the problem. You peel back the layers of the onion.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of work to me, Mark, but, you know, it has to be done, I suppose, you know.
And, it's not an easy fix, Sam.
No. I mean, a habit is a habit, you know. It's something you do all the time, and it's automatic, you know. And but this is cool. I mean, I started reading this, and you really make a lot of sense there. So the book is Habitually Great, and Master Your Habits, Own Your Destiny by Mark Weinstein.
Right.
Is it Weinstein or Weinstein?
You know, on the East Coast, everybody says Weinstein. On the West Coast, everybody says Weinstein. You know?
Weinstein.
That's the old German.
Yes.
Now, Sam, remember that what I want to leave you with, too, is regrets. We all, you know, look at the future. We've met older people who have regrets, and you can have regrets when you're 20 or 25 even. Regrets are always based on something that we could have done that we didn't do, and what got in the way are habits. So,
right.
Sam, looking at your life in the future, when you think about, will you regret not quitting smoking, knowing that you do have the power, you can change your habits?
You're right.
So I really urge you to take a look at that and take your power.
Right.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
You do have all the power. It's all within you.
That's true. You really need to focus on this stuff. Mark, thank you so much. It's been fascinating. The book, do you have a website we can go to?
Yeah. And the book is available at Amazon.com right now, Habitually Great. And the website is habituallygreat.com. That's with two L's. Or you can go to peaklifehabits.com. Either way, you'll get to me. You'll find out more about our programs for companies and for individuals. I hope everybody enjoys the book. I wrote it for myself, too. There's, for all of us, there are great things we can learn.
Well, we'll do. Definitely. Mark, you've been great. Thank you so much. All the best to you. And
enjoy New Mexico.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Enjoy L.A. I love it. I went to grad school there. It's a beautiful city.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Mark.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, anyway, that was cool. That was cool, you know. I mean,
can I take this book with me?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think it's important because, I mean, that's one problem with me is habits, you know, and we were talking about this morning, you know. That's why I felt the book was so relevant because I get stuck in fucking habits, Susie. I mean, I can't stop.
I do too. I really do.
You know?
And I have to, like, reach a point where it's like I'm so self-destructive with this habit and it's so out of control that I have no choice but to do something else.
You do. You have to do surgery.
It's like me with my drinking. Like, one day I'm going to reach, like, a point, and it's going to be like, all right, I'm going to... Is it psoriasis when your liver, like, explodes?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, man.
Don't think about that, my God.
Oh, man. When I go have a cigarette.
Sure, we're going to take a little break. Hold on, though, because we got one more phone call.
Okay.
Let's take it real quick. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hello.
Oh
my gosh, is this Mo?
This is Mo.
Yes,
what?
Because you are leaving to Australia, so I have to say goodbye to you.
Yeah.
Mo, where the hell have you been for the past, like, 8 months?
I thought you stopped listening. We haven't heard from you.
No, I do listening. I mean, I have my own show, another location, and also busy with my guests, and also, you know, I'm constantly busy all the time, but I do monitor your station is right there, and with Phoenix, and it's loud and clear. Everything comes and
wonderful. Mo, what do you think? What do you think about Susie leaving? I mean, what are you going to do now?
I guess we are of course miss her because she was good.
Yes, and she's very good.
Very good. But now you have not. Is your I think you've already found somebody else, or are in the processing to find somebody else.
No, we're looking. I'm still looking. You know, we'll have.
You're still looking. Okay.
We'll have another show, and in the meantime, I'll bring Johnny in here and TJ and stuff.
Mo, would you like to audition for the slot?
Yeah, Mo would be great. You know, put on a pair of tits, and you'll be good to go.
So when are you going leaving, Susie?
My plane leaves Friday at midnight.
Oh, really?
So
you're midnight. Do you know that lots of people take midnight flights for what reason?
For what reason?
Yes. Do you know that?
I used to
work in airlines before.
I like taking it because I like to sleep.
No, actually, many couples that take it, they go into the toilet.
In the bathroom.
And have a sex.
Oh, I see. When everybody's sleeping. Okay,
I get it.
So.
Right now, they have trained all the people. That's why every move you do, they're watching you. So now people cannot have it. I mean, before, when I used to work for Reno Air, We were very much about everything. I mean, I really don't care. I let them do it.
But you wouldn't let them?
What?
You wouldn't let them?
No, I would.
He would.
I mean, personally, I would let them. I would inside. But, I mean, I said, let them have fun. I mean, but I know other ones, if they would try it, they would knock the door and say, well, why you are too big?
Yeah.
And some they say, well, my wife is vomiting, so I had to be with her, etc. You couldn't believe how many people they give different excuses.
It's like when you go to the bathroom at a club to do like cocaine with your girlfriend, and like five people like come out of the stall, and it's like, really, what were you guys doing in there? Really?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But right now it's illegal, even because of all the international airspace.
Yeah.
The plane going towards the international aerospace, so it still is illegal right now.
Oh.
I mean, they're because of the new patriotic law and etc. I mean, they're watching everybody in the plane and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And now the new ones, they put new cameras.
What? Actually, their cameras?
No, they're not going to put cameras in the bathroom.
No. They put cameras in front of your seat.
I see. Okay.
And they watch you. I mean, they watch your eye movement, they watch what you do, etc.
Sounds like conspiracy.
They want to do that, and not yet. Maybe some they have done it, but in process of all the planes, they will have that, and then they will go to a supercomputer. So then they can do immediately. And also another thing is that they put a wristband. Now they want to do that too.
A wristband on the airplane.
Every passengers. So when you go inside, so one person in the plane has all the code numbers for the passengers. So if a passenger try to say, okay, I'm going to, for example, hijacking the plane.
I've done a bunch of international flights lately, and I haven't gotten any wristbands.
No. I know, not now, but it will come.
He's talking in the future.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's coming very soon. I mean, sooner or later. Well, and then what they do, the wristband is like a taser. You know, it gives the person shock, and right away the person will fell down. Nobody can do anything.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's new technology.
It sounds reasonable. I don't know. Makes sense to me. I don't know.
El Al have that. El Al, I'm sure I know El Al is number one because not only they have a security police inside it, they know. Once you enter to El Al Airport, when the immigration officer asks you, hi, what you doing here? I mean, what you're going? You say you are going to see Jewish temple, or you are going to see other places for tourism, etc., for fun, etc. They know everything before you enter to Israel.
Yeah, they do. They do a background check on you. You know that when you get on El Al, which is the Israeli Airlines.
Yeah.
They do a background check on you before you get on the plane. You can't get electronic tickets.
Daniel was telling me that he and his ex-girlfriend a long time ago decided they were just going to pop over to Israel and go check it out. And they were like interrogated, trying to like, you know, get on the, I forget, they were getting on or off. And they were like, why were you here? What were you doing? And they had, have you left Israel since you've been here? And they were like, no. And then they're like, but your passport says you did because they went on a boat trip somewhere
to
else.
Egypt or?
Yeah, to Egypt. They just tried to like trick them into saying all these different things. And it's like, we were kids.
No, not trick them. But listen, that just makes you feel safer on the plane when they do that. Believe me.
Yes. I mean, El Al is number one. I mean, no.
Insecurity.
No aeroplane in the world comes close to El Al. And El Al also has put anti-missile too into their planes. If there is some kind of anti-missile, anti-aircraft
missile,
El Al is going to neutralize it with automatically. Automatically it's going to be deactivated.
Right.
Bingo. The missile will be diminished.
Mo, say goodbye to Susie because she's leaving tomorrow and we're not going to have her again. And we have a porn star should show up any minute. Mm-hmm. I guess the contender for the co-host position never made it.
Seriously.
But Mo, thanks so much. Take care.
It was good hearing your voice again, Mo.
Back to Australia. I think it's about 18 hours. Am I not right?
You're exactly right.
18 hours.
Oh yeah, because I used to be in the airline business. I know exactly the things. Yeah. I mean, I haven't forgotten.
Right.
So make sure, you know, because of the 18 hours, make sure you move a little bit so you don't get...
Susie will move. Don't worry about it.
Restless leg. Yeah.
Keep it up, boys.
Lots of people get restless leg syndrome. Yeah.
I'll show you people restless leg syndrome.
Anyway, I'm sure people talk to you or somehow via Skype or something through the show.
We can have Skype sex, Mo.
Yeah. Mo, have Skype sex with her. Listen, Mo, we've got to run.
No, my wife will kill me.
Yeah, she'll kill you, but that's okay. At least you'll go smiling. All right, Mo, thanks.
These days, everybody have a lack of sex. I don't know what's going on. It's the economy. It's the economy, everything. I mean,
no one has jobs. There's nothing left to do but fuck.
All right, Mo from Oregon. Take care and talk.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Sure, call us again soon.
Have a nice trip back.
Have a nice life, Susie.
Okay, yeah. Bye, Mo. All right. So, we can that turned out to be a long phone call. But he loves to talk. But sometimes he's got interesting stuff to
Yeah, totally.
You know. So, anyway, we'll take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
I used to suffer nervousness and lose sleep because of bad memories. That is until I asked my doctor about Forget It All.
Forget It All is the once daily pill that will erase all kinds of past traumas, leaving you anxiety free and able to live life to the fullest.
Forget It All has opened up a whole new world to me. Oh, hi, puppy. Something from my childhood makes me not want to pet him, but, I can't remember.
Forget It All is not for everyone. Side effects include, what were they? No, not that. Oh, I remember. No. I guess there are no side effects to Forget It All.
Being this dog's chew toy could give anyone nightmares. But it won't, thanks to Forget It All.
Forget It All, because what you can't remember can't hurt you.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Oh, Hello, this is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back to Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
So what's the scoop with Rihanna? Have you been following this?
No.
Like her boyfriend beat her up or something? Uh-oh. I don't know what the whole story is.
She probably didn't do the fucking dishes.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't listen.
She didn't listen, goddammit. Yeah. That's so wrong. I shouldn't make fun of that. But
why? I mean, that's what they always say, you know? She didn't listen.
Well, I know when Franz and I had like our domestic dispute, it was seriously like the whole fucking, where the police were called, like he ran away. There was like a warrant out for his arrest. Like there was an emergency protective order filed, and the whole thing started because there were fucking crumbs on the counter. Because I told him every fucking day, I'm like, if I fucking come home from work one more time and you're sitting here naked jerking off at my kitchen table and there are fucking crumbs all over the place and dirty dishes in the sink, I was like, I swear to God, I was like, you're gonna be fucking dead.
Really?
And I came home one night and he was like sitting there naked jerking off at my kitchen table on his computer, and there were fucking crumbs everywhere. I'm like, is it really hard? He always takes bread and like puts it down on the table without a plate. Like, is it that hard to fucking take a fucking plate out and put the bread on it?
Yeah.
And I flipped out. Yeah. I think I actually threw his computer across the room.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I mean, I'd be pretty pissed too.
But so like the next day he was like, do you understand that this whole thing was over breadcrumbs? I'm like, yes, technically it was over breadcrumbs, but like there are a lot of deeper like seated issues here.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, it wasn't just the fucking breadcrumbs.
Yeah, no, you had a lot of resentment towards him, I think.
Oh, God,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you're over it.
Me,
you know?
Too. What was I thinking?
What were you thinking, Susie?
Sam, why did you let... This is your fault.
I know.
Why did you let that happen?
And everybody was telling you to leave him, and you didn't. Now people are telling you don't go, and you're going. You see, I'm great with Jewish guilt, man.
Thanks.
I'm really good.
Is there Jewish
guilt? I
had
a very good teacher.
Is your mom?
Yeah.
Wait, is there Jewish guilt like Catholic guilt?
Yeah.
Really?
Definitely.
Huh.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. So way before we called the author, or before the author called it, no, before Rochelle called, I was telling a story about this girl who hated me because I was perky.
Right.
So I'm in like my little Catholic schoolgirl uniform. I'm at this girl's house, and I start playing with the bouncy ball again, and she fucking gets so pissed off. She comes over, and even though she was a scrawny, skinny little thing, she picks me up, and she throws me headfirst into the wall.
Wow.
And so I'm like trying to like get up and like walk away. And she just starts coming over and like beating the shit out of me.
Wow.
So this girl, Leah, gets her video camera and starts video camering the whole thing.
How old were you guys?
I was in fifth grade. I was like 11.
Wow.
This girl like seriously just had some anger issues. But so like finally, you know, the fight gets broken up and she's calming down. And there's a huge snowstorm going on outside. So I can't even like walk home or anything. And my mom's supposed to pick me up. Now I have like this huge like black eye. So I go to the freezer and I put some ice in my eye. And so I was listening to Christina, who is now on the phone with her boyfriend. And she was saying, oh, it was so great, Daryl. And so I picked up Susie and I threw her fucking head first against the wall. Blah, 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 blah. I got so pissed off that she was like laughing about this.
Uh-huh.
I used to play football with the boys at this age. I had a really good arm and really good aim. I took that huge hunk of ice and I was like, hike! And I threw it across the room and fucking whacked her in the head. And like her head busted open and started bleeding.
Really?
Next thing you know, she starts screaming like a chicken with its head cut off and like running around like a maniac. There's blood everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, she's going to kill me. So I run upstairs and like lock myself in the bathroom. And she was on the other side of the bathroom door with a knife, fucking like stabbing the knife into the door.
Really? An 11-year-old?
At 11, yes.
Wow.
Before she finally like calmed down. And then the little sister that was at the house was like, Susie, she's gone. You can come out now. It's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just like in there shaking.
Yeah, girls are mean.
Girls are really mean.
Yeah.
Really, really mean. But yeah, so my mom goes to pick me up like an hour later. We obviously didn't get any dance rehearsal time in because that's what we were supposed to be doing. My mom's like, what happened to you? Like, Jesus Christ. But all for being too happy.
Yeah. You need that drug we were advertising here before.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah, Depressidol or something.
Depressidol. I'm hungry. Like,
are you?
Yeah.
What are you going to eat today?
I don't know. Like, Evan and I have been having lunch every day for the past 2 weeks. And he just told me today he has this new girlfriend that he fucked her like a long time ago, and then she lives in a boat, and so we went and spent the night on the boat with her last night. And so I just sent him a text. I was like, "So where are we going for lunch?" And he's like, "Haha, I have too much work to do." I was like, "Bullshit, you're fucking."
Yeah, on the boat.
On the boat.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
No.
But so my lunch plans have been canceled, but I have to work in Malibu at 1 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, no, you know what? I've got so much food in my house I'm trying to get rid of. I'm going to go home and eat.
Yeah.
That's what I should do.
Well, you can leave it for Lisa. I mean, it's not like you're going to have to throw it away.
No, it's all shit that she doesn't eat.
Oh.
She doesn't eat bread or pasta or, you know, pasta sauce, like none of those things.
Yeah.
She says she's allergic to it, but I don't believe her.
Really?
I think she doesn't want to eat carbs because she thinks it'll make her fat.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely.
She's pretty skinny, huh?
Really skinny.
Yeah.
Really, really skinny.
Has she met anybody yet?
No.
No, huh?
No.
What is it? I mean, she's got a certain pattern there, a certain habit.
I don't know what it is.
We're talking about habits.
Seriously.
Yeah.
She's been in like a 3 or almost 4 year funk.
Yeah.
But I don't think she puts herself out there enough.
Yeah, maybe not.
You know what I mean? Like, I am out there every single day.
Yeah.
Whether I want to or not. Like, I'm constantly out of the house.
Right.
Like, she works from home. Like, she most nights she stays in by herself and doesn't do anything or go out. Like, she just, like, stalks people on Facebook. and it's like, that's not how you're going to find a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then eHarmony, even, I was like, well, why don't you try a dating service? eHarmony rejected her.
Why?
Because, like, in her statement about herself, she was talking about her vagina.
Really?
And, like, they were like, no, we're not going to allow you to say these kinds of things.
Jeez.
And she's like, well, I'm not going to try and suppress the real me.
Yeah.
I was like, well, maybe initially you should try and suppress the real you until you can hook a guy. Once you've hooked him, then you can let your like true colors shine.
Yeah.
Me, I let my true colors shine, and if guys don't like me, fuck them.
Yeah. Well, there's probably special websites for people like her, you know?
Like what?
Like sexual people that talk about their vaginas. eHarmony is not the place to be.
No, definitely not. Oh, and speaking of which, that guy finally stopped calling.
Yeah, finally.
Finally. Huh? Oh, yeah. Man. I really think we should call him just to see like what is going through his fucking head.
Okay, well, I'm not doing that. You're going to get us in fucking trouble.
You're no fun. Someone's in here.
Someone's in here?
Yes. Good. Hold on. They're coming.
Okay, well, they weren't here before, were they?
No.
Yeah.
Want me to go see who they are?
Yeah, go ahead and check it out. Okay, you know what? Let's take a little break, because if someone is here, we're going to have to get them situated and everything. So give us a small, small chance here, and we'll be back right after this.
What's great about the iPhone is that if you want directions to the nearest casino, there's an app for that. If you want to count cards at the blackjack table, there's an app for that. And if you want to find an emergency room after you got your arm broken for counting cards at the blackjack table at the casino, there's even an app for that on the iPhone.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back, and we do have a guest in the studio. Good morning.
Hello, home people.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Kira, and I've been waiting outside of the building for 20 minutes trying to get in.
Aww.
Why?
Because I guess in some buildings, the front door is locked.
I can't believe it, because there's people in charge of doing this.
Oh, well, I figured. Wow, no, yeah. I was thinking, I was like, Sam's going to hear my message, and he's going to yell at somebody.
Sam doesn't yell at anyone.
No, we don't yell at anybody.
He doesn't get irritated.
You don't sound like an angry person.
No, we're not angry. So, did you have to come far? From far?
No, I actually live about 2 blocks away.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Very convenient.
I told you it's a great location here.
It really is a great location.
Yeah, for everybody, huh?
You have some really nice looking digs as well. I actually have a small radio show that I take a part of right now once a week or so.
Uh-huh.
And this place is like a palace.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah.
Compared to what I usually walk into.
And I think I know what you're talking about. We have a lot of hosts that left there and they're here now.
Oh, well, yeah. I can see why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is definitely different. So, so what do you do?
I'm actually writing a book right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually now working on two books. I just came up with an amazing idea yesterday. And, yeah, I'm trying to teach women how to be more like men, I guess, in the dating world.
Ah. Really?
Yes.
Now, is that necessary?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, let me tell you why. Because me and my friends, I'm sure, Susie, you've gone through this as well, go through many broken hearts. I'm sure men do, too. But mm-hmm. I've never been a man, so I don't know their point of view.
Right.
But, yeah, we go through a lot of broken hearts, and we feel... Well, I feel like women make a lot of stupid decisions in relationships. So I am kind of on the man side of things.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that because Susie's left a lot of broken hearts.
I actually am a man.
Oh, okay. Me too. Me too. Yeah, yeah.
I eat men for breakfast and I spit them out.
I see.
Yeah. So have you grown up tomboyish and stuff?
Tomboyish? Do I look like a tomboy?
No, but you said you could relate to this. I mean, Susie was definitely a tomboy younger in her life. And that's why, I mean, what makes you want to understand what men are thinking? Why are you on the side of men?
Well, to answer your tomboy question, I'm a ballet dancer who likes to wear high heels every single day.
Cool. Well, so does Susie, but she didn't always, right?
I used to be a ballet dancer, but I would still have like lizards and snakes and frogs and go out and like roll around in the dirt and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she just told us of a fight she had and that was definitely like a boy. Right?
True.
I've never been in a fight, no.
No.
Yeah.
Good.
I didn't want to be in a fight. Fucking bitch, I swear. It really did just happen.
Yeah.
Actually, you kind of look like her.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. No, I was just telling Sam that she was absolutely gorgeous, but she was still a bitch and she attacked me.
Well, if she attacks you, that's a different story.
Exactly. That's what I say.
Yeah.
That's when you got to hit back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to look like a fool.
Exactly. I don't want to, I'm not going to have her like attack me and just sit there and take it.
Yeah. So do you have a title for the book yet?
I do. I'm calling it The Qualifications of a Modern Young Lady.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Sounds good. That's promising.
That does sound good, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm calling it, and it's going to take me far, I'm guessing.
Yeah, why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I was born in Russia.
Oh, whoa. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We moved to America when I was 2 years old, and I've been here ever since in Los Angeles, grew up half my life in Hollywood until I was about 11, and then we moved to the Valley.
Oh, yeah. How exciting.
I'm definitely a Valley girl. In fact, I have an 818 necklace I like to represent the hometown.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That's awesome.
Now, I see that you have the symbol of the evil eye on your necklace.
Right.
Right?
No, it's not the evil eye.
No, that's to fight the...
Yes.
Yeah, that's to fight the evil eye.
It's the Jew hand.
Yeah, the Jew hand.
The Jew hand. I like her.
It's called Hamsa.
Oh.
Have they told you that before?
No.
And that's actually an Arabic word, but it means five. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
now I know.
Because of the five fingers and stuff.
Wait, so what is
but,
what is that?
But that's
explain
for good
me.
Luck. It's to keep away. Yeah, you go ahead and explain it.
Well, I'll be completely honest with you. I don't really know.
So you like it. You just like what? The way it looks or the meaning?
It's basically, I like the way it looks. It puts me in a cool club of the Jews because I think being Jewish is a really cool
Jew?
Club. I am.
Oh,
nice. Okay, so two Jews and a shiksa once again.
again, I'm outnumbered.
Well, what can I say?
And three, if this guy doesn't stop looking at me.
Oh,
Weinstein,
no.
Yeah.
Was he here earlier this morning? You guys just discussing the book.
We had a phone interview with him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we interviewed him.
Very cool.
So why did your parents decide to move here from Russia?
Because, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, but we want to hear her story, okay. Susie. Duh.
Well, it's cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
No, we couldn't afford bread.
Really?
You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty profound.
Yeah, no, it's actually a really great story. My parents came to America, I think, with maybe $500 to $1,000. And we now own a two-story home in the Valley, and my father has two businesses, and, you know,
very
it's
nice.
Really, it's inspirational, it's really, really great. But yeah, we came here, thank God. I don't know who I'd be if I was still there.
Yeah. So it wasn't really for ideological reasons, right? It's not like your parents felt, no, we can't live with this socialism. I know Jews were oppressed in Russia and stuff. And then there was a period, 20 years ago when they allowed them to leave. And, you know, they sort of like everybody left.
Right. That was us.
That was you, part of it. And then some people went to Israel. So you're lucky that you came here, let me tell you.
Yeah. No.
It's a whole different story there.
Absolutely. And when we left there, they actually would take all of your papers and force you to go to other countries first and have those countries allow you to leave those countries.
Yes, yes. They wouldn't let you go directly, right?
Right.
Yes.
We lived in Austria and Italy before we were allowed into America.
Wow. Can you imagine that kind of a life, Susie?
No.
I mean, we take it all for granted here everything, you know?
I mean, I'm moving to Australia on Friday, and I'm having a really hard time like getting all my ducks in a row to do that move. I can't imagine moving a family from like Russia to Austria to Italy to the States.
With little kids and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's gotta amazing. Be a daunting task.
So but you must be happy you ended up here, right?
I'm so happy. I love America. I'm a very patriotic.
Yeah.
And I love Los Angeles.
Do you really?
I do.
One of the few. You see, Susie, some people do like Los Angeles.
I like it.
No, I know you love it.
I love it here. But I gotta go.
I know
Where in Australia are you going?
I'm going to Cairns. Up in the northeastern part of it.
Okay, I'm not really familiar.
Yeah. And I'm moving into a rainforest right outside of the Great Barrier Reef.
You are so cool.
She is, and she's taking her cool with her.
Yes, I am. Packing it all into my car.
The funny and the cool.
And you're going to be studying there, I think?
Yeah, I'm going to be in school full-time there.
That's awesome.
I know.
For what?
For psychology and social sciences.
Very cool.
Yeah. Did you go to school?
I went to culinary school.
Fabulous.
So you can cook too.
I can cook.
Really?
Where'd you go to culinary school?
There's a school in Hollywood called Kitchen Academy. It's actually owned by Le Cordon Bleu.
Okay.
Really?
And the first 2 years that it was open, it was called Kitchen Academy, and now it's Le Cordon Bleu. So when I graduated, it said Kitchen Academy on my certificate.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you graduate, it says Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh,
you don't want to graduate from not Le Cordon Bleu. You want Le Cordon
Bleu. Right, right.
But they won't give me a certificate.
They won't change it?
They won't.
Really?
That sucks.
That sucks so bad.
So you have to put a little blurb down there on your thing, you know?
Also known as.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing to cook?
I really like to bake.
Oh,
I love baked stuff.
I am the worst baker in the world. I love cooking. I'm very experimental in the kitchen. But when it comes to baking, you have to have a lot of patience. You have to be very detail-oriented, I found, to bake. I'm like, I'm going to not really measure this cup of sugar. I'm just going to throw like one egg in instead of two. Yeah, is the oven like really? It doesn't really matter. And then like my shit comes out and like the bread has not risen.
Risen.
And I'm like,
is it risen?
Risen, rose.
Yeah, risen.
Risen.
Yeah, risen.
So I'm the worst baker in the world.
Bread is I will never, ever make bread again in my life. In culinary school, we did that for a few months, and I wanted to strangle myself every single time.
Why? Is it hard to get it right?
It's hard to get it right,
uh-huh.
And it's like a 5-day process.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
With the yeast and letting it sit.
Yeah.
You have to do the yeast, then let it proof, which means letting it rise. Then you have to put it in the proofer to proof again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a whole process.
Yeah, just go and buy some at the store.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, who needs that? Yeah, so you focus more on cakes and stuff like that?
Cookies? I love that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So is that what you do on like a daily basis? Do you work at a bakery?
I don't. After culinary school, my girlfriend and I opened up a little catering company of our own.
Oh, nice.
And that went really well. And then I decided I really don't want to be in this business.
Really? Why is that?
Because I'm a little bit of an attention whore, and being in the back of a kitchen doesn't really satisfy my thirst for attention.
That's true. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I had to leave.
Yeah.
And I gave it to somebody else, my part of it. So.
Really?
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm happy now.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell, you know? So so now you're writing a book and everything,
yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
How long have you been doing it?
Well, I came up with the idea about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it ever since. It's just really tough because I'm a really big perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, you know, when you're doing something and you're putting your heart and soul into it, you just never think it's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And you don't want to show it to people because if they don't think it's right and you've been putting your heart and soul into it, it'll just break you.
Yeah. Right.
That's how I'm feeling.
Oh. Wow.
Uh-oh.
Jeez.
So it's taking longer than expected.
Yeah, but. Well, obviously, usually it does, you know. And writing a book is pretty ambitious, you know, mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool, you know. So tell us some of the stuff that's happening in the book. I mean, what can I expect to get from that book?
All right, so I got the first chapter is about dating. Mm-hmm. Well, first section, really. I don't want, for example, I'm asking women to not depend on men financially or emotionally or socially. Because, you know, once you start dating somebody, you start hanging out with his friends.
Right.
And your friends kind of go in the background.
Right.
So, you know, I just kind of bringing out those points. And then we go into sex, where I'm asking women to not be so afraid of it.
Uh-huh.
Because don't you agree, Susie, that growing up, women are afraid?
You're asking the wrong chick with regards to this. I told you I'm like a man.
Well, yeah. I mean, most girls.
Yeah,
would
yeah
most agree girls. That, you know, I mean, growing up, we're not really bisexual. That's not really the message we're sent.
That's right. That's right. And that's why I'm attracted so much to women that are highly sexual, because I, too, was raised with the fact that girls don't like sex. You know,
right.
They're not into this and stuff. That's why, you know, when I see, like, someone who's really into it, it's like a turn-on. You know, wow, the woman actually wants it, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's still trauma from the teenage years, I think, you know.
But it is.
Yeah, but so you're right about that. So why are women afraid of sex?
Susie?
Susie's not afraid of sex.
I know. Afraid of sex. And I grew up as a very sexual being as a kid. I was doing like strip teases on the corner.
Oh, I love you.
But I also grew up modeling and doing TV commercials in New York, so I kind of had the opposite experience.
Yeah.
Where I was kind of like a sexual object or a sexual being from a very early age.
I had the same experience.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's why you're an attention whore as well.
Yes.
Wow. what kind of an experience?
Well, you know, I did the modeling thing as well, but even in my circle of friends, I was always, even though we weren't sexually active,
mm-hmm.
just my personality, everybody would be like, oh, you're Samantha, you know,
yep.
Sex and the City. I was
totally.
Always the Samantha.
Me too.
So even without having sex, I'm the Samantha. So it was just always like that.
Yeah.
Do you have a boyfriend currently?
I don't really. I'm dating somebody, but I don't want to be in a relationship.
Ah.
So I'm seeing where it's going to go. But I told him in the beginning, I really like you. I think you're a really interesting person.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want a relationship. And if it gets to the point where I feel like it's getting too serious, because I'm so focused on my career, I'll probably back off a little bit.
Really? Even if you fall in love with him?
Yeah, I just don't think it's the right time for me.
Oh,
so
wow.
See, for me, like, if I fall in love every Tuesday, usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see how you can turn it on and off.
Yeah, I can't
love,
either.
You know?
Yeah, it's on. I've gotten to the place where I can make it a choice, a real choice.
Wow.
So
you're pretty evolved.
I in that department, I've worked on it very hard. So.
Wow, very, yeah. very, very evolved.
So what do you guys, I mean, what does it mean to date him? You guys go out occasionally and stuff and have
yeah.
sex and that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good to me. I wish I could find a friend like that, Susie.
It's called your wife. Are you married?
That's besides the point, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But I can say things. I'm on the radio. What the hell?
Of course.
I can tell what I really feel.
You could dream.
Yeah.
That's Aww. The thing. I got to tell him, you know, I'm on the radio. So if you're dating me, some of the stuff's going to get out.
Yeah, there you go.
Got to be aware of that, too.
Yeah. Oh, well, trust me.
What kind of a show do you do? I'm curious.
It's just me and another guy just kind of bouncing off of each other.
Shooting the breeze.
Yeah, shooting the breeze.
Yeah. Well, we definitely do that here.
That's all we do.
Going nowhere.
We're very good at that.
So is your family all here in L.A.?
Yes.
Really? And you mm-hmm. have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And what's that like? How much older is he?
7 years.
Ooh. 7 years, wow. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. did you feel good I have an older brother? Or did you guys not get... I mean, that's like a big difference, right?
Yeah,
in
we
age.
We weren't close until I was about 19 or 20.
Mm.
So that was just a few years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's. I think that's the same thing with my kids also, you know? But now that my daughter is away,
they're
they seem
like
to have a better relationship.
3 years apart, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know... But she's away now, so they have a better relationship.
Of course.
This way, and so
the
do
distance.
I.
That's yeah. why I always like international boyfriends. The relationship's much better that way.
Yes. But then when do you have the sex?
Well, you can have Skype sex.
Okay.
Yes. And
lame,
then,
lame.
Trust me, there is nothing lame about it. It can
there,
be some...
It's very lame,
Susie. No, it's not.
It's...
I'm going to go with Sam and say that it's lame.
Yeah,
you need to feel a body, Susie. No, it's your foreplay that you have, like, until you get to see the next person. And then when you see the next person, you're just like, holy fuck, and you just want to, like, rip their clothes off and, like,
eat them. That's true.
I mean, that happened to me before, you know? And
then you have, like, a week of passionate sex. Then you go back to your normal life. You focus on your day-to-day life. You don't get, like, all... you know, stressed out about seeing the person every day, and then you fly back out, you see him again, you have your Skype sex at night to take care of, like, your personal needs, mm-hmm. and you're all set.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's perfect.
That's the problem I'm having now in the dating situation I'm in. Mm-hmm. The stress of, when am I going to see him? Now I have to think about when to see this person. Right. You know, it's not easy flowing.
Yeah, it's not flowing. Yeah, exactly.
Get so an international boyfriend.
So it's really not meant to be. Yeah.
I'm a big advocate.
I'm going to do that. So did you say that you were from New York originally?
Yes, originally New York.
You were born there?
I'm New Yorkian.
That is uncommon.
Really?
Yeah.
It is? Everybody in L.A. is from New York. That's what we find on the show.
Really? That's so funny.
Totally. We have a lot of New York transplants here.
Because I went to New York. I was there for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And every single person I'd meet, they were not originally from New York.
Yeah. There is a lot of that. I do understand what you're saying. A lot of
it's a
New
big
Yorkers.
City. I mean, people come from all over, obviously. Yeah. But, I don't know. But we've had a lot of people.
And there's a great culinary school in New York, too, mm-hmm. the CIA up in Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go up there for dinner all the time.
Oh, yeah. Don't you love culinary schools for that?
I love culinary schools.
Sam, if you didn't know, you could just walk in and eat the food.
Really? No, yes. I did not know that.
Yes. It's absolutely
this is
free.
Cool.
I will say the one thing I always hated was the service, because they make all the culinary students like work in every aspect of the restaurant industry.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, for someone that's like a baker, then all of a sudden, you know, if they're on a rotation where they have to come and serve you, uh-huh. like they sometimes, like, I don't know, you'll get someone who's like socially retarded and like they should just
Absolutely.
Be in the kitchen. They should be nowhere in the front of the house because they don't know how to serve and they're like shaky and they spill stuff on you and you're just like, oh my God, just go back to the kitchen.
But it's free.
Yeah, free food, and it's probably good too, huh?
And nobody forces you to leave a tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one day at my school, we were serving foie gras for free.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a foie gras. I drink a lot, so. I've got a very nice goose liver over here.
So I like liver, actually. Do you like liver?
I love liver.
Yeah, like chicken liver?
Ew.
Yeah, chicken, sauteed in onions.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh,
ew.
Yeah, there's nothing like it, Susie.
No.
Sauteed in onions. You know, they love this, like, overseas and stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
When I was in South Africa, everybody orders that for appetizer and stuff, you know?
Whenever I see chicken liver on the menu, and you know, some sushi restaurants actually have sauteed chicken liver on the menu. You should look out for that.
Mm-hmm. Art's Delicatessen has chicken liver, too.
That's true, because they're big Jews over there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. very big Jews over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want Art's Delicatessen for lunch.
Okay. I told you, maybe tomorrow we'll go for your last day.
But Susie, if you leave to Australia, you're not going to have it.
No delis.
For a long time.
I know. But you know what? With like, there's seriously like mangoes growing in the backyard and papayas and banana trees. And like the fruit is just amazing over there.
Yeah.
Like everywhere you go. So I'm really excited about that aspect of things.
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes I feel a little phony though, because you know what? Here I am telling you why you shouldn't go and everything. And yet I did the same thing. You know, I was in Israel back in 96, 97.
Mm-hmm.
And I met this girl from South Africa. She was visiting there. And she went back. And then all we could think about is getting together. And so we would have like not Skype sex at the time, but it was more like
payphone sex,
like instant messenger sex.
Okay.
Yeah. And it drove me crazy. It drove me crazy. By the time I got there, I did jump her bones.
Exactly.
I mean, we couldn't wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But and everybody told me, don't go. And I don't regret it. I was there for a year in South Africa. I had a blast.
Take that.
Yeah.
So. You know, I think in some situations, it is okay to leave your life and do something crazy
mm-hmm.
if it'll benefit you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to see a different part of the world, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, she doesn't know how it's going to turn out, but she...
I don't know how tomorrow's going to turn out.
Exactly.
I don't know how today's going to turn out.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say, you know, so you never know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you going there to be with somebody or just to study?
The main focus is to study.
But there's someone there.
He's the icing on the cake.
Okay.
Because I've always wanted to live in Australia.
The main focus was what again?
To study.
I don't believe that.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
He might not even be there in a couple of months. He might lose his visa. At which point I will be there on my own and doing my studying, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Is he from America?
No, he's English.
It's so weird saying America.
Yeah.
Like it's a different place than where I live.
Yeah.
People usually just say like the States.
The States, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what English people say.
Yeah. Yes. But you should ask her how this thing started, okay? It had nothing to do with school.
He was my school. First of all, I've always wanted to go to school in Australia, so fuck off. I just had never had like a reason to kind of get the ball to get the ball rolling. And then, you know, I had decided I was in Australia for like a couple of weeks after Christmas, and I was trying to figure out where I would want to live if I lived there. At first, I was like, "Oh, I want to live in Sydney." Then I made it to Brisbane. I was like, "Oh, I want to live in Brisbane." Then I made it to Noosa Head. I'm like, "Oh, I want to live in Noosa Head." And then I made it up to Port Douglas in Cairns, and I was like, I love it here. It's great. And then I met a scuba diving instructor who's super hot. And then we quote unquote fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, there's a university here. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. So I'll have him and the school.
The first time you brought this up when you came back, there was no school involved.
That's because school's boring to talk about on the radio. It's so much more exciting to be like, oh my God, I fell in love with a scuba diver and I'm moving to Australia.
Okay.
Is that not more exciting than being like, oh, yes, Sam, so I've decided I'm going to further my education in Cairns at James Cook University. How boring is that? I mean, seriously. You think I go off and do the crazy shit I do at night just for the fun of it? No, I do it for you and for the sake of radio.
Kira, let me ask you this. Would you move for a guy? Not at this point in your life, probably, huh?
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you can control your falling in love and everything, so you wouldn't do that.
I probably wouldn't, but honestly, the prospect of moving to another country is pretty...
It's very exciting.
It's exciting and thrilling. So, you know, I mean, I think I would take the jump just because it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And she's young, you know, she still have...
Exactly.
You don't really have a lot of responsibilities, so that's the time really to do it.
Yes.
So I support that. All I'm asking is don't try to bullshit people with the school part.
I am going to school full time. I've wanted to... I love school.
I know you are, Susie.
I'm really excited about going to school full time.
I'm sure.
I'm dreaming about my first... I'm really scared of my first day of class. I like seriously already packed my pencil case and my calculator and everything.
Oh, I miss doing that so bad.
I know.
I love school, too. I'm a big school freak, and I love my teachers. I'm in the front row.
Me, too.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
Wonderful. So why don't you go back to school, then?
Because I don't think what I'm planning on doing with my life is necessarily in need of an education.
Right. So which begs the question, what is it that you plan to do?
Well, I do want to stay in radio. I really love radio, and I'd love to go into TV as well, hosting and all of that, and writing my books, and just kind of living out that part of my life.
So you're into the arts more, yeah?
Yeah, I'm much more creative and...
Yeah.
I'm not very creative.
No?
No.
Hmm. But you don't like statistics either.
No.
I love statistics.
Do you really? Ugh.
You're Russian. My freaking teacher was Russian. He was a communist, and he hated me.
I'm not a communist.
I know, but he was Russian.
Yeah. That's what she called him. You know.
I just joked around. I called him the communist because he gave me an F.
Oh,
no,
wow.
But Russians are known generally as smart people, I think.
Very smart.
Yeah. Hmm. No? They're the ones you know?
I don't know about that. Honestly, I like being Russian, but I'm not really a fan.
Yeah, not a fan. Not a big
My
fan.
My favorite author is actually Russian. Ayn Rand.
Not familiar.
Have you ever read The Fountainhead or Atlas Shrugged?
I've heard of The Fountainhead, but I have not read it.
You really should read it.
I will.
Why should she read it?
Because it's a life-changing book. I've read it like 5, 6, 7 times, and also Atlas Shrugged and We the Living.
Wow.
And she came from communist Russia in the early 1920s.
Is it about communist Russia?
No. It's about individualism and capitalism and how wonderful these things are.
Okay.
A lot of people like to say that she writes a lot about selfishness and how like she's...
I like selfishness.
Yeah, but a lot of people in this day and age...
It works for you.
Yes. A lot of liberals are just like very, very anti her and her books and what they think it stands for. But those people that are anti usually haven't read the book. So
those people who talk about things they know nothing about.
Exactly.
I love those.
So read the book and then don't tell anyone you're reading it and then just be like, ha-ha! Because people will seriously like see you reading it and they'll shake their head and be like, I'm dead serious.
The Fountainhead, right?
The Fountainhead, yes.
I'm going to buy it right now.
You too, Sam.
Me too.
You too.
Okay, I will. I will. After I finish reading her book.
Okay.
Which it's sounds not out a lot
yet.
More
her book
fun.
Isn't out yet.
It sounds a lot more fun.
No, there is some amazing sex in these books, too.
Is there any sex in your book?
Of course.
Really?
In fact, I ask girls to have a fun basket, a variety of men to choose from at all times. So that they're not in relationships, but always have some fun when they need to.
I like that.
I like
you see, when I was younger, that didn't exist. You know, now you have the
yes,
booty
it did.
Calls.
You grew up in like the 60s.
Booty calls and
oh,
shit.
Yeah.
It's called free
no,
love.
I was in the 60s. I was a little kid, you know. I mean, my years were the 70s, you know. That was my teen years.
With your van with like the waterbed in the
yeah,
back.
Yeah, the
you had a waterbed in your
no,
car?
No, it wasn't me. No, but there were like Chevy vans were like the hottest
damn,
thing.
Damn, you were pimping then.
And he would wear like and he would wear platform shoes.
Platform shoes, long hair, bell bottoms.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I would die to see these pictures.
I'll have to find them. I was driving at 16. I got this huge car, this huge Buick that looked like it looked like a fucking cruise ship or something, you know? And here I'm driving this thing.
Hysterical.
So it was funny, but it was the best times ever.
I saw your website, and there's no pictures of any of this up there. I don't understand.
No, we don't put that shit up there. You don't need to see what I look like at 16.
I would love to, Sam.
Really?
Yes.
I should put those up on Facebook, huh?
You really, really, really should.
Not many people do that. We should do that.
By the way, speaking of Facebook, did you know that they own all of your personal information and pictures? Did you hear about this?
My friend Eric actually just told me this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday.
So they own it, so they can use them wherever they want.
They can do whatever they want, sell it, and not give you a dime.
Mm.
And this includes, if you cancel your account with them, they can still use your pictures and your info.
Wow.
Yeah. So I should probably take the naked pictures of myself off.
Doesn't matter. They were already
there. They already have them.
So it's kind of like there's nothing you could do, so just continue.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Look, there is no privacy anymore, you know?
That's true.
I mean, we were talking about this website where I could look up anybody, okay? And it'll tell me their age. It may not be that up to date, but the age is correct. They'll find people that are related to you.
What?
And this is just by putting the name in the website.
What website is this?
This one's called, I mean, I don't know, just look for people search on Google or something. And you'll see how many you're going to find. And it's so freaking scary, you know, because people can find out where you used to live, where you live now, who your relatives are, you know, if you're married to someone. And then if you pay a little bit, and this is all free. Now, if you pay a little bit, you can find out about marriages and divorces and bankruptcies. Because you see, this is all public
record.
Right.
So they just made it available to everyone.
I got a text message the other day on my cell phone. I look at it, and it's just, you know, like five numbers, like 73732 or something, like when you get a text message from your cell phone company.
Yeah.
And it says, I open it up, and it says, you have been added to the cell phone registry. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What's the cell phone registry?
Is it like a phone book? Because no one has a house phone anymore. Maybe it's like a phone book for cell phones.
What if I don't want to be in the cell phone registry?
That's true.
And what if that means they can... You know,
telemarketers
random
and
people,
everything else.
Random people can look up my phone information or something like that. What is that?
Yeah, no, I mean, you sit in front of Google and you've got a lot of power, let me tell you. I mean, you can find things that are just scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I wonder what happens if you Google.
It'll give you like
it'll give
their
you Google.
Home page or something like that.
I don't know why I just thought about that.
It's a good question. I like that.
Google is extremely interesting. You know, if you really get into it.
I was un-Googleable before I met you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, asshole.
Yeah.
Are you Googleable?
Now you're fucking famous.
Now I'm fucking Googleable.
Yeah.
Yes.
All over the place. Yeah.
Mm. If you Google me, you get a picture of me when I was 15.
What?
From like a casting company that I used to be with. And at least I look really cute.
Yeah.
But it's not accurate because I don't look like that anymore.
No, huh?
It's like my headshot out there. It's from when I was 10.
Yeah, that's basically what you find when you Google me. People will Google me and be like, damn, she hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Now, is this your natural color hair?
Nope.
No.
No.
But it's probably pretty close, no?
My color, because by the way, is platinum blonde.
Yeah.
He's asking.
Because your skin is very fair and stuff. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I am blonde, but I'm not this blonde.
Okay. Mm.
I like blonde. I used to be blonde.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
When?
Look at all my old Facebook pictures. I used to have long blonde hair.
Yeah, I think I saw that somewhere, but not blonde like this, though.
Not that blonde, no. Yeah. I've always wanted to, like, cut my hair off, like, really short and have, and then, like, dye it platinum blonde and have, like, a pixie dyke spike.
That's, yeah. Well, I didn't have a pixie dyke spike, but I had more of, like, a boy cut earlier last summer. Mm-hmm. And it's grown so much already, and I can't wait because I want to look like a blonde bimbo whore.
Sounds good to me. You belong right here. Then.
That's my. That's she where
says
I'm going.
It, she says it with like such a straight face. It's why it's really funny.
I really want to. I'm obsessed with the girls next door.
Oh my God! Like
really?
No, you're not.
I'm so obsessed with them. I love them.
Who's your favorite?
Holly.
I like Kendra.
Kendra, but I don't like her.
I like Kendra.
Wait. What are you talking about?
Hugh Hefner's TV show, The Girls Next Door, where he lives in the mansion with his three blonde bimbo girlfriends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kendra's my favorite. She's kind of like the sporty Spice, you know, very athletic, you know, just very, very fun. She's the kind of one that would just be like, oh my God, I just went and gave a Mormon a blowjob. Ha ha, whatever.
The whole show goes like this. Somebody flashes the camera, and then they go, ha-ha, yay! That's the entire show.
And then they, like, go out to eat, and then, like, or they go somewhere, like, fabulous, and then, like, you know, I don't know.
But then the nipples pop out. There's always nippleage.
Yes.
Really?
Definitely.
I gotta start watching
But they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Why do you like this?
Okay, Kendra is an idiot. Bridget has a master's degree, okay? She's not an idiot. And Holly is just, you know, she just happens to be really hot.
I don't think Holly's that hot.
I'm a little bit obsessed with her.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you into girls?
I like girls.
Do you?
Yeah,
Have you done it before?
Yes.
You have?
It's not a relationship thing. But, right. Know,
but
fun.
A sex thing.
For fun, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, I would never say no to a beautiful girl. I'd be like, no, I'm not into that. That's not me.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm starting playing with myself under the table, so don't watch. But,
are your parents listening?
No, my parents are definitely not listening.
Yeah, Susie was heavy-duty lesbian at one time.
Were you really?
For 2 years, I was a lesbian.
It's so funny.
What do you call it? Lesbian until graduation,
Lugs,
right?
Lesbians Lugs. Until graduation.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
She went
during
to a girl's
college?
School.
No, during boarding school.
Oh,
before college.
Yeah, she didn't have a choice.
I love girls from all girls' schools.
Yes.
They're some of my favorite girls because they like girls. Uh-huh. They don't have things against them.
Right.
Because they spend so much time with them, so they learn to appreciate and understand.
Right.
And they're usually really happy and they like sex.
Yeah.
I would agree with all of those things.
Right?
My kind of people.
Absolutely.
That's what I found. But yeah, my parents, I remember when I first started getting into this radio thing, I got invited to go on to one of the Howard Stern shows on Sirius. And I called my mom and I told her, and she was not happy about it.
No.
She's like, Howard Stern, I know what he's doing. I know what he's about. And I'm like, yeah.
But
well,
you're going to another show, though, right?
Yeah, it wasn't his show.
Right.
But it was, you know.
Which one was it? Can you say?
I don't remember the guy's name, but the day that I was supposed to go in, he got into a lot of trouble and everything was canceled. Yeah. So I didn't actually do it. And so then I called my dad and I told my dad and he goes, I have to tell you, I know you have to talk about sex and it's okay. I'm a modern man. He's a modern man. And I was like, okay, I understand, but you're still not listening.
Yeah.
So I don't let them listen to any of my tapes or watch any of my videos or anything.
Good.
What kind of videos do you have?
It's just, you know, conversational videos. No hanky panky. Don't worry.
No, yeah. I mean, the nice thing about you is you seem like a conservative girl, like, you know,
I wear pearls.
Yes, pearls and stuff like that.
I wear pearl necklaces.
And you look like a good girl, but I'm seeing under the surface there's like this animal.
Actually, Evan and I were having lunch yesterday, and he's like, Susie, he's like, you're so cute. He's like, I just want to pinch your cheeks and just, oh, you're so cute. He's like, but you're fucking diabolical. He's like, people in a million years that are walking down the street next to you would never know the things that are going to come out of your mouth, like once we sit down to lunch.
Well, that's true.
He's like, it's horrifying. You are the devil. And I was like, thanks, I think. He's like, but you're so cute.
No, it is a nice combination when
it's great.
Yeah, I agree. Because it entices people. They like it. Yeah.
I know. And then, like, you're good in any situation. Like, you can go home and, like, meet the parents or, like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you can just totally play off that you really are as good and sweet and innocent as you look.
Mm-hmm,
but,
yeah.
But turn off the lights.
And what do you like to do for fun? I mean, do you go out?
Do you have hobbies? Go out. Me and my friends are big club people.
Really?
Mm-hmm,
so what clubs do you hang out in?
Well, it changes all the time, you know, like, what's cool.
Yeah.
Where the celebrities hang out. That changes constantly.
Oh, really?
Constantly.
That's where you go? Really?
Yeah.
So where do they go now?
Right now, there's this really cool place called My House. It's mm-hmm. probably the coolest club out right now.
Really?
But yeah, it's usually the same places. They just change the name every few weeks.
Where is this, in Hollywood or something?
Yes, in Hollywood.
Oh.
But, you know, it's not really satisfying anymore to me because everybody there just... I mean, you go out to show yourself off.
Right.
That's basically the only reason people go out mm-hmm. to these places.
If you're an attention whore.
Right, like me. So, but now that I have one specific person I want to be showing myself off to, usually now we just sit and have philosophical discussions over a glass of wine or something like that.
Sounds cool.
A glass of wine? Okay, I might have a cocktail or two before I get there.
Nobody's going to match Susie. I mean,
no.
She's a few bottles a night type of a girl.
Are you really?
Yeah, that's why I'm like a glass.
Are you a wine drinker or what's your drink of choice?
On a nightly basis, I consume wine.
Okay.
But if the wine runs out, I'll drink whiskey or vodka
drink
or
anything.
Tequila or Bacardi or beer.
Or NyQuil.
Or NyQuil. NyQuil's a good one.
Yeah.
Sam, what about you? What's your drug of choice?
I prefer weed. I like weed. Yeah, I'm not into drinking that much.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
He's got the Jew gene where he can't drink.
I'm a Jew, but I do have all that Russian blood in me.
Yes,
so
and Russians
like the vodka?
Love to drink.
I love vodka.
Really?
Vodka is the only thing I drink.
Mm.
Wow.
Everything else makes me go insane. I turn into a psycho bitch.
I remember my grandfather saying once, he's like, Susie, he's like, if you're ever going to drink and drive, he's like, drink vodka. And I was like, why, Pop-Up? And he's like, because the cops can't smell it on your breath.
Oh, yeah, that's not true at all.
It's so not true because my body like retains alcohol like so badly. It's disgusting. Like I walk in here in the morning and Sam's like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, did you brush your teeth? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, she smells like a brewery sometimes when she walks in here. Now, I wanted to ask you about, is there like a Russian community here? I mean, do your parents hang out with fellow Russians in there?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the Russians know each other.
Uh-huh.
And there's absolutely, West Hollywood is the place to be if you're Russian.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And there's the Russian restaurants. So, yeah, definitely it's a small knit group.
Nice. What's Russian food like?
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Is it pretty good?
It's good. But I think for a lot of it, you have to be eating it from the time you're little to really love it.
Like Vegemite?
Like Vegemite. That's what I was thinking.
I've never had Vegemite. What is that?
Yeah.
You don't want to have it. You don't want to know.
It's a pasty, ugly, disgusting thing in Australia.
Do they eat it in Australia? On its own?
No, they put it like on toast or something.
Yeah, okay. Like a spread, I think. Right,
yeah.
Susie?
Blech.
Yeah, like a brownish...
It's made out of like yeast or some kind of shit like that.
Hmm, that does not taste good.
And it's very salty and very bitter at the same time, and it tastes like shit.
Do you eat it maybe with a drink?
Or no. It's just disgusting.
I don't know. Don't look at me. She's the one that ate it. But
I ate it and I almost choked. Oh. Like I won't even let Dan kiss me after he's eaten it. And there's like a 2-hour waiting period before he's allowed to come near me.
Awesome. So, Kira, do you have any website, MySpace, Facebook you want people to go to?
I do. I have a website. It's www.sexobjectsandatms.com.
Excuse me? Wow. Yeah. I love that.
Sex
Wait,
objects.
Like ass to mouth?
No. Like sex objects are the women and the ATMs are the men.
Okay, okay.
They make the deposits.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Well, no.
No?
That's not exactly what I was going for, but...
When I heard the ATM, that's like ass to mouth in my mind.
Yes. I honestly just found that out. Recently. But it's more like men are, you know, give you the money.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so what's on the site? Is that like a blog or something?
Have a blog on there, and then as well, I have different sections of the beliefs of, you know, the book that I'm writing, The Modern Qualifications, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
Establish yourself as an expert
yes.
in that field, you know?
It's hard to do because I'm young.
Yeah.
But I think I know what I'm talking about, and
I think
most
you do.
Men
yeah.
agree with me, and I think women want to know what the men think, so
there
I'm
you
giving
go.
It to you.
Yeah. So you know what men think.
I believe so. I've been doing a lot of research
my
whole life.
Yeah.
So,
but men want to always tell you the truth, though.
Well, yeah. I listen to Tom Likas.
Yeah.
Like every day.
Right.
And he's taught me a lot. And
yeah.
then my whole life, I've basically had boy best friends.
Oh, cool.
So.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from them.
So you know what they do, yeah.
I know what they do.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
And how they think and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and then I have my girl best friends that allow me to understand why we're making the mistakes. And honestly, deeply into what I'm doing, looking deep into it, what I'm trying to do with women is give them a self-confidence boost and more of a self-awareness.
Right.
Because my big problem is that women are in relationships when they don't need to be or when they don't even want to be, but they are conditioned to believe they should be.
That's true. And so, society expects them to as well, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know. It's like by the time you're 40, if you're not married or tied down some, you know, people still look at you funny, no?
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, guys, we were out of time. Kira, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
A lot of fun, huh, Susie?
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I like your mind.
Thank you.
I like the way it works. Yeah. Anyway, so go to your website. Say it again.
www.sexobjectsandatms.com.
Sexobjectsandatm.com. Sounds good to me. And Susie, this is the day before last.
I'll see you tomorrow, baby.
Yes. You promise?
I promise.
Okay, that's the last time you're going to say that, too.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. And I want my bikini wax.
Bikini wax tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.